Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, in comforting these people that were wayward, these people that were dispersed into other areas of their known world at that time, who were going through great difficulty and discouragement and problem in their life, comforts them with the knowledge of the truth, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells them about the benefits that they have received as those who are the redeemed of the Lord. He tells them that He is the one who upholds them and cares for them and keeps them. And in reflecting and speaking the gospel to their heart, they are going to find encouragement as the people of God, no matter what difficulties they may go through in life. And we need to learn that lesson as well. You need to rehearse the gospel to yourself. You need to preach it to yourself again and again and again. You need to comfort your soul and fortify your soul, building up your soul with the knowledge of the truth through the Word of God. To not partake of the Word of truth, beloved, is like not eating your physical food. It's just a matter of time before you become famished, you become weak. Energy is given as we eat our food. And so as you eat the physical food, you are strengthened by eating it. So it is spiritually. You are strengthened in your spiritual life through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that we are then led in a straight path. It's the Word that is truth. It's the Word by which we fight all the fiery darts that Satan throws at us. So we do ourselves a disservice as the people of God by not partaking of the spiritual food that has been given to us. The church as a whole becomes insipid. It becomes weak. It becomes malnourished. It becomes almost anorexic. And when an individual is anorexic from lack of physical food, they become susceptible to all kinds of diseases because they cannot fight them. Their immune system is so weak. We need to learn that lesson spiritually. That is exactly what Peter is saying to these wayward Christians, these dispersed Christians. He is comforting them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who was, he says, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God. In Jesus Christ we have the full forgiveness of all of our sins. Do you understand that? You do not make yourself right with God. You do not keep yourself right with God. You are right before the judge of all the earth by the perfection of Jesus Christ in Him alone. His righteousness, His holiness, His satisfaction. That is why the confession says that when you have Jesus, when you have Christ, when He is in you and you are in Him, when you believe on Him, you have all in Him that is necessary unto everlasting life. You need nothing more and nothing further. You need to remind yourself of that. It is discouraging to think that you have to do certain things to maintain a standing with God. Christ has done it all, beloved. If you're truly believing on Him, if you're truly in Jesus Christ, it will then be manifest by the way that you live your life. Peter reveals that here as love to the brethren. Genuine love. Sincere love. So one who is then justified by the perfections of Jesus Christ will be being sanctified by the Spirit of Christ. You will be more and more daily being conformed into Christ's image. You will be more and more transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will more and more think along the lines of God's Word rather than thinking along the lines of the world. You will find yourself in more conflict in the world. Why is that? Because you will be thinking God's thoughts after Him, and the world hates God, and that will bring you in direct conflict with the things of this world. So recognize those who are justified will be sanctified, will continually, habitually be being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. It's a covenant promise that's given to us. Those who were foreordained before the foundation of the world, redeemed in Christ Jesus, will be conformed to His image, Romans 8:29. So, that is what Peter does when he brings comfort to the people of God. Notice that. Where do you find your comfort, beloved? In Christ. Where do you find your comfort? In the promises of God. Where do you find your comfort? In knowing the truth. Where do you find your comfort? In knowing the truth of the gospel, that you're redeemed by the work of Jesus Christ. That is where you find your comfort in this fallen, sin-cursed world, this turbulent world, this difficult world, this world where there's many heartaches, many hardships, death, sickness, problems, difficulties. Comfort is found in Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is bringing to the saints here. And he does it again and again. And always, what the writers of Scripture do is they bring what's first called the indicatives. That is a statement of fact. They tell you what God has done for them. As a response, the imperative comes. It's a response to us in Christ Jesus. Because God has redeemed us, and He's redeemed us to be a holy people, He's redeemed us to be a people of good works, then we are commanded to live a certain way because we are the redeemed. We are the adopted. We are those that are reconciled to the true and living God. And we have the Spirit and the Word that dwell within us, and we are now commanded to live ethically a certain life. Not to be saved, but because we are the saved. Do you understand that? It has to be said again and again and again. Or we'll begin leaning on our works, thinking, hey, I can do this, and God must be pleased because I do. God is pleased with us in Christ Jesus. Period. We have the perfections of Christ imputed to us. God is pleased with us because of the work of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Christ has done what we could never do. He has lived the perfect life, which we have all failed to live. He's the one who absorbed the wrath of God against all of our sins, past, present, and future, which we could never do. He's fully God and fully man. In his manhood, He was sustained by His Godhead on the cross. We would implode if the wrath of God came upon us. We could not redeem ourselves. Christ has done that. And the loudest declaration that the Father has given that He has received the work of the Son on our behalf is that He raised Him from the dead. And that's what we celebrate every single Lord's Day that we gather together. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ rose from the dead. A declaration that we are the justified in Christ Jesus. He now sits enthroned at the right hand of God, ruling over all things for the good of His church. And so we have the comforting promise that all things work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. No matter what it may be, no matter the difficulty, no matter the trouble, the trial, no matter the sickness, all things must work together for our salvation. It's the promise that Christ has gained the victory for us. That's the promise given in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the comfort. Now press forward, beloved, in your life. Press forward in living for Him. Because the truth of the matter is, you are not your own. You have been bought. You have been purchased with the price of His precious blood. Not with silver, not with gold, not with the temporal things of this life, the corruptible things of this life. The incorruptible blood of the Lamb of God who was given for us for our redemption. Now live for Him. Live well for Him. Pray for the strength of the Spirit so that you might live for Him. Not for yourself, but for Him. Glorify Him in what you do, whatever it may be. Whether it's farming, whether it's carpentry work, whether it's in the hospital, it doesn't matter. Live for His glory who purchased you. And Peter begins in our text this morning, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. He says it's Christ who was raised from the dead, verse 21, and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Think about this. Your faith and hope are in God. Faith is that present reality that you're trusting right now the promises of God. Hope is the future fulfillment of those promises. You're trusting for the future things that God will provide for all of your needs. Our faith and our hope. Faith is that present reality. Hope is future looking. Looking to what God will do in the future. There's a kingdom coming. It's going to come down out of heaven upon this earth, and this earth is going to be completely cleansed. It's going to be purified. And on this earth will be paradise restored. It will be the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells in the whole of the earth. And we will dwell upon this earth in that kingdom, and Christ will be the light, and there'll be no more night. Why? Because Christ is the light that dispels all darkness. It's coming. And we anticipate it. We look forward to it. That eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. He reveals them in a foretaste in His Word. But they're coming, beloved, and that's what hope does. It sets its aspirations, its desire, its comfort right upon the Lord. And hoping in His Word, His fulfillment. Since, he says, you have purified. Now, thinking about that for a moment, that you have purified. Perfect participle in the Greek. Which means it is something that has happened in the past. And it has continuing results. Now, the purification happens in our lives as we are partaking of the Word of truth. It continually happens. That's why in Ephesians 5, a husband is called to wash his wife with the water of the Word. It's the Word of truth that sanctifies us. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So we partake of the Word of truth. And as we do, beloved, you are becoming more and more purified, holy in your living. Hagnazo is the Greek term. And that's what it means. To make clean. Because you have been redeemed by God through Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit, you are purifying your hearts in obeying the truth. And that's what Peter is saying here. You have purified. It happened in the past, and it's a continuing result in the future. You are continually purifying your souls by partaking of the truth of God's Word. Now, you've got to ask yourself a question, don't you? When you don't see the growth in the Church of Jesus Christ, what is directly involved in that not growing in the Church? The Church not strengthened, not built up, not being able to deflect error and point it out. What is the direct culprit? Is not obeying the truth. We're not growing in holiness. We're not growing in godliness. It seems that the church at times could become stagnant. Why is that? Well, ask yourself that question. Are you partaking of the Word of truth? Is your soul continually being purified, sanctified, set apart, made clean by the Word of truth? By obeying the truth, he says. Obeying the truth. That's what believers do. That's what sets us apart from the unbeliever. The unbeliever will not obey God. The believer has the disposition of heart to desire obedience to God. To do the will of the Lord. To submit, to bow the neck to the yoke of Jesus Christ. Not a perfection, but it's certainly a scene in the direction of their life. I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. The baseball player, and it was big, made big news. That all the other teammates were kneeling down because the Black Lives Matter. But he stood. And he's criticized for that. Why was he criticized? Well, because he didn't do what everybody else did. Why didn't he kneel? Because he said, I'm a Christian. And I kneel to Jesus Christ. Not to movements, not to fads, not to organizations, not to men. but to Christ. And he'll be criticized. And maybe some of you are criticizing him already. That just shows the state of your heart. We bow to the Lordship of Christ. Black Lives Matters, that movement, is a farce. Why is that? Because all lives matter. As I said last Lord's Day, all lives matter because it is created as the image bearer of God. It doesn't matter what color you are. Black lives don't matter because they have black skin. White lives don't matter because they have white skin. Lives matter because we're created as God's image bearers. Man, starting with man, can never get to that. And that's what he glories in. And then it's the separation. And then it's the fighting about colors. It doesn't have anything to do with the debate. We are image bearers. And that is why we have worth. We reflect the image of God. So, we obey the truth of the Word. Beloved, you cannot obey the truth if you don't know the truth. The Greek term that Peter uses here is hupoakouein. And what that means is it's attentive, submissive hearing. Akouein is the ordinary term for hearing and listening. Hupoakouein is like hyper hearing. It's submissive hearing. It's bowing down. It's obedient hearing. You hear to obey. You listen to obey. You strive to obey. You've got your ears attentive to the Word because you want to obey your Lord. That's the hearing that Peter's talking about here. It reaches down into the soul. It makes effect in the soul. It changes the way one thinks. You change the way a man thinks, you change the way the man lives. And this is what Peter is saying here, that obeying the truth is a believing the truth and then setting an order to obey it, to walk in accordance with it, to be submissive to it. That's not a one-time event. That is your life. That is how you live. Hearing and obeying. Yes, Lord, your servant hears. How foreign is that in the lives of many? Yes, Lord, you said it, that settles it forever. Many are like, you know, it doesn't satisfy me. I don't like that. This is too hard. Oh, that's too difficult. Oh, I'm not going to obey that. Well, you know what? You're not hearing in submission. You're not hearing to obey. You're not hearing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you say. Your actions demonstrate that that is not who you are. You are not one following after Christ. You are not one bowing the knee to His Lordship. You're deceiving yourself. You may be a member of the church. You may call yourself a Christian. But if you're not walking in obedience, if you're not striving for that, if you're not loving that, you don't show yourself to be a Christian. It doesn't matter what you say. You can say all you want. Your life shows different. And as Jesus said, that every tree bears fruit. Every tree, notice, it demonstrates what kind of a tree it is by the fruit that it bears. It shows itself. And Peter is saying, you're purifying your soul by obeying the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's through the Spirit. By means of the Spirit. There's the Greek text. By means of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who energizes. He's the one who gives us strength. He's the one who continues to work in us, giving us more and more the mind of Christ. It's the Spirit who convicts. It's the Spirit who illuminates. It's the Spirit who drives. It's the Spirit who comforts. It's the Spirit who then testifies to our spirit that we're the children of the living God. That's the Spirit's work. It's not apart from the Spirit. This is the conjunction with the Spirit who dwells in every believer. So, he says, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. The Greek term there, sincere, means not hypocritical. You're genuine. It's genuine love of the brethren. Now notice, this is what's called the indicative, right? Watch. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, and through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, All of that is indicative. The statement of fact. This is a fact. Since you have done this, now love one another fervently. Imperative. Command. Mood of command. Because of this, now do this. And it's sincere love of the brethren. Genuine, unfeigned love. It's not hypocritical. It's not two-faced. You're not wearing a mask. You're not just going through the motions. You genuinely, sincerely love the brethren. And because of that, Peter says, love one another fervently. Beloved, a mark of a true believer is love. If you don't love God and you don't love the brethren, you show yourself to be outside of Jesus Christ. Love is a mark. Commitment is a mark of love. Love is most often revealed in Scripture as a verb. It's an action word. We say in our culture, I don't feel loved. Now, I am not denying that there are feelings involved in our love. There certainly are. But love primarily in Scripture is not a feeling. It's a volition. And sometimes we love people who are not lovely. We love people despite of how they treat us. We strive to love our enemies. We strive to do good to those who say all manner of evil against us, who prattle against us with all different vicious words. We strive to continue to love them. It's hard. That is hard. It's difficult. Nevertheless, it's commanded of us. And we have the ability to love. God's love has been shed abroad in our heart by His Holy Spirit. So now we have the ability to love God, our neighbor, our brothers, and even our enemies. And because of this fallen world in which we live, and because of the rebellion still in the believer's heart, it can be tough at times. It can be difficult. But beloved, are you going to submit to Christ? Are you going to rejoice in the good news of the gospel that Christ has redeemed you and empowered you now by His Spirit and His Word to love in this way? It's commanded. This is the ethic of Scripture. That all that you do be done in love. We're to serve one another. And in serving one another, we show ourselves washing one another's feet, providing for one another, caring for one another in this way. We show we are the disciples of Christ by our love for one another. So we are commanded them to love fervently. Notice the word fervently. The Greek word is a physiological term. So it deals with your physical body. Now you're going to understand this analogy. If you've ever played sports, and there is a time that you're off season, you're not doing the things in off season that you would during the season. So for instance, stretching exercises. For any sporting event, the coach would have you out there and he'd have you stretching. And one of the stretches that you would lay down on the ground and you would bring your head to your knee so you could stretch your hamstring muscle. Because if you pull a hamstring, you're done. So there would be the stretching exercises. And anybody knows that has played sports before that if you have not been in the practice of stretching, then as soon as you start to stretch, you feel the pain. This word here speaks about stretching to the max. As far as you can possibly stretch. And you know that when you begin to stretch, it hurts, but the next time it gets easier. And then it gets easier until finally you're able to put your head on your knee. This is what Peter is saying here. Stretch in love for one another. As far as you are able to stretch, stretch. And that will enable you to go further in the future. Our problem is we get stuck in ruts, don't we? And we think we're doing just enough. We don't stretch further. Well, here's a stretch. Be kind, be loving, give to somebody who doesn't speak well of you. Speak well of them. Don't do unto them what they do to you. Don't do evil for evil. Do good for evil. Provide for them. Stretch out to them in that love. This is what Peter calls us because we are the redeemed of Jesus Christ. Love fervently with a pure heart. Stretch with a pure heart to love your brothers, your neighbors, and also your enemies. Stretch as far as you have the capability of stretching. And beloved, and then keep on stretching after that. And you'll find that it may not just simply become easier, but you'll find that you're able to stretch further. You'll be able to endure more for the glory of Christ. Because he says, you have been born again. Anageneo, born again, reborn, a new birth. Born from above, born of the Holy Spirit. New love, new affection, new standard, new direction in your life. Born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 3 that if you're not born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of heaven. If you are not born from above, if you're not born of the Holy Spirit, you're going to hell. If the Holy Spirit hasn't raised you up to newness of life, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction right now. The entrance into heaven is the work of the Spirit regenerating the soul, bringing new life. And that new life gloms on to Jesus. It believes on Jesus Christ. It is that hyper-hearer. It hears and obeys and follows after the Master. Oh yes, we fall down. We skin up our knees. We have difficulties. But we've got our eye on Christ. He's our hope. He's our salvation. And that's the one born of the Spirit of God. That's the declaration. And it's an amazing thing how that happens. Because Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So is he who is born of the Holy Spirit. It's ineffable. That work of the Holy Spirit who raises one up by hearing the ministry of the Word. Well, thinking about this, the ministry of the Word, and how the Spirit uses the ministry of the Word to bring regeneration to the soul. Is it any wonder that Satan is constantly attacking the Word? Is it any wonder that the children of Satan attack the Word? I just have to listen to somebody and what they think of God's Word that tells me what their heart is like. Because the children of Satan do the works of Satan. He was a liar and a deceiver from the beginning. And he stands not in the truth. And he is always questioning. Did God really say that? Oh, you can't trust that. That's written by men. Oh, that's not for today. That doesn't apply for us. Oh, that's antiquated. We have new standards today. That tells me what's going on in that individual's heart. One who is born of the Holy Spirit, it's by the Word of God, loves God's Word, desires God's Word. So, parents, you're doing your children a great service by bringing them to sit under the ministry of the Word. They may not like it. Doesn't matter. They need it. It's where the Holy Spirit is going to work. If he's going to work, he's going to work in conjunction with that Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Specifically, Rhema, a word particular about God, about Christ. So Peter says, having been born again, born anew. Yeah, you see things differently. You look at life differently. You look through the lens of Scripture. You see things through God's Word. It's like I said, the Black Lives Matter thing. When you're born again, you see human lives matter because they're created as God's image bearers. Red, yellow, black, or white. Doesn't matter what color you are. Human beings have worth not because of the tone of their skin, but because they're created as God's image bearers. And you see that through the lens of Scripture. You see that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. You know that we are to love because we have been loved, and we love God because He first loved us, and therefore we have an ethical obligation to love God and to love one another. And you see that as you look through the lens of Scripture. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Lives and abides forever. You know, man is constantly hammering away at God's Word, and the society continues to break down. God's Word doesn't disappear. It's going nowhere. Every culture, every generation, same thing. Bringing their hammers and slamming them against God's Word, and people are being redeemed, and the Word of God is still here. It still goes on, and they perish. They are gone, and the Word of God remains. It's a wonder, isn't it? Because as it says, the Word of the Lord endures forever. It abides forever. It remains forever. It's the Greek term meno, and that's what it means. It abides. It remains. Its position, established in heaven, O Lord, is Your truth, Your Word. So I like the forever there. Ice aeon is the Greek term. Ice is into aeon, eternity. The Word of God abides into eternity. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away. The Word of God will never pass away. Notice what man is. Man is like, the flesh is like grass. Got my grass cut yesterday. Grass flourished, came up for a moment, and then the mower came and mowed it down. That's what we're like. We have our flourishing moments. We have our time under the sun. We may prosper for a moment, for a minute. But man is ultimately like the grass of the field. He says all the glory of man. Man in his best state, he is like the flower of the grass. You've seen him. You've seen him by the road. You've driven past him. You've looked. You've pointed him out. And you said, how beautiful is that flower? And he came 2 weeks later, and they weren't there. Man's life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Withers away, falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Cultures come and cultures go. Rulers come and rulers go. Societies come and societies go. All of them hostile to the true and living God. And God's Word still abideth, and those cultures, those people have come and they have gone. This is the Word of the Gospel that was preached to you. The Gospel goes on, beloved. The Gospel does not perish. The Gospel is where you set your hope. Everything of the earth is futile. Everything of the earth is coming to nothing. All your property will be given to somebody else. But the Gospel goes on continually. Believe the Gospel. Preach the Gospel to your own soul. Remind yourself of God's goodness, of God's forgiveness, of the work of the Spirit in the life of every redeemed individual. Remind yourself continually of the promises that await every child of God. They must come to pass because our God cannot lie. Everything that He says in His Word is truth, and it will come to pass no matter how many cultures, how many people, how many organizations or individuals rise up against it. God's Word must come to pass. Put your hope on that, beloved. That's the whole point. The corruptible seed perishes and disappears. Not the incorruptible. Man's glory, like the flower of the field, it springs up, it looks beautiful, and then it's cut down. Not the Word of truth. Not the Gospel. Not the promises of God. Be reconciled to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust the promises. That is what Peter says to his readers. Be comforted with the truth of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. That will endure forever and will enable you then in this temporal fallen world to stand by faith and to endure all the hostility and afflictions that may come upon you in this fallen world. Amen. Shall we pray?